Hey, podcast listeners, Michael Shelley here. Welcome to this week's podcast. We've got Will Birch as our guest today, a guy with a long, accomplished career. Of course, he was the drummer and lyricist of the band The Records, who famous for their song Starry Eyes, but we don't even talk about any of that. We stick mostly to his book called No Sleep Till Canvey Island, which I will say over and over again, one of my favorite rock and roll history books that I've ever read, period. I just loved it. I highly recommend it. Even to people who aren't into rock history, it's just a well-written book, really well put together. Highly recommend it. What else? We start the podcast off. We're going to hear the entire song of Brinsley Schwartz's Funk Angel. It's a great example of what pub rock is. It's, you know, has a little bit of Van Morrison, a little bit of The Grateful Dead, a little bit of Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young. It's a perfect example. There's a slight hesitation to it, not a, quite a lameness, but you'll hear the sort of reasons for, you know, pub rock was sort of the anti-arena rock. So what you hear is guys doing less. That was kind of their MO. So you hear that entire song, and then we'll hear from Will Birch. Don't forget some great stuff coming up. Head over to WFMU.org/Michael to find out what it is. All right, folks, with no further ado, my interview with the Brinsley Schwartz song, and then my interview with Will Birch. Thanks.
Well, the sun shone down so hard, it set our backs and hearts on fire. So hot and dry, all we could do was watch the grass turn brown and pray for rain. Whoa, I look back down the hill at my friends with the light in their hair. They were running, I heard them coming from a mile away. Cause you thought it best to go. Oh, and when I kissed you, I knew you was a soul sister trying to find your way back home. Whoa, she said there ain't no one can do the things I can in the back of a grave. Oh, but the angels stay.
Will Birch, welcome to WFMU. We're here today to talk about No Sleep Till Canvey Island, the great pub rock revolution. Of course, you've got a long history, the Kursal Flyers, the records, you're a lyricist, a producer, a writer, and of course, this is just one of your books. And we were discussing earlier, Nick Lowe recommended this book to me, and I just loved it. I mean, it was a fantastic book, partly because it tells a huge slice of music history that is really under the radar, you know, because it doesn't involve any huge successes during the time, but it sort of traces a line from Kippington Lodge and this sort of 60s pop thing through Brinsley Schwartz, through pub rock, and then to the beginning early successes of Stiff Records. I mean, to me, it was obviously a labor of love for you. I'm assuming it was.
Well, I didn't write the book from a commercial standpoint. I felt it was a story that had to be told. And I also believe that the pub rock scene in London in the early to mid-1970s really provided the platform for what followed and the music we know and love, such as the work Nick did, you know, as a solo artist and with Rockpile, such as Elvis Costello, such as Graham Parker and The Rumour, here more in the UK, Dr. Feelgood. And also in London, the punk scene, although there's no direct link musically, nevertheless, it did provide an infrastructure or a platform for some of those early punk groups in London. And certainly the kids that picked up on The Clash and the Sex Pistols were the same kids who went to see Dr. Feelgood, you know, and Eddie and the Hot Rods when they were at their peak in around 1975. So pub rock indirectly was extremely influential.
You quote Nick Lowe in the book as saying that pub rock was sexy and fantastic. And, you know, because it's funny, because in some ways there was a time when pub rock sort of was another word for lame, you know, sort of.
Yeah.
So how can it be both things?
Well, pub rock, I mean, it's a terrible term, really. I mean, it's just something that I think a journalist came up with. It was quite funny at the time, but it gave it a handle. You know, the music press in the UK in the early to mid-1970s was incredibly influential. Papers like The Melody Maker and The New Musical Express, NME, they had big readerships, far greater than they could ever get today, certainly for print journalism. And they had some great writers, and they wrote a lot about the pub rock scene, and it was just a term that you know, people knew when you said it what you were talking about, bands like Kilburn and the High Roads and Dux Deluxe and Brinsley Schwartz. They were the key bands. And the other side of pub rock was literally sort of less imaginative groups that just sort of played 12-bar blues. Chuck Berry and just churned it out in a rather staid fashion. So I think some people, when they think of pub rock, they just think of a load of old geezers, you know, playing 12-bar blues. But the pub rock I'm talking about were bands who wrote their own songs, who looked great and had loads of imagination and flair, like the bands I just mentioned.
Just the way the music industry grows and changes is always fascinating. And there are some amazing characters in this book that I'd never heard of. Edward Moulton is one. And I want people to buy the book and read the book, but give us an inkling of who this guy was and what he did.
Well, Edward Moulton, who really has absolutely nothing to do with music, indeed nothing really to do with the music industry, but he was, let's say, an entrepreneur and a little bit of a chancer, as we say, who was after, wanted to make money, and he would make money out of anything that moved. And in the early 70s, that could have been, you know, fashion, or it could have been film, it could have been anything. It could have been pop music. And Edward Moulton fell in with another guy called Stephen Warwick, and they formed a company to promote lots of different lots of different things. I mean, I write about it in No Sleep Till Canvey Island. They, for example, they tried to make a movie of the Omar Sharif bridge school, you know, the famous actor who was famous for playing bridge. They tried to build a pleasure palace on a rusting fort in the Thames estuary. All crazy, crazy ideas. And one of the crazy ideas they had was to try and launch a rock band through a company they had called Fame Pushers. Now, Fame Pushers was run by Dave Robinson, who later went on to co-found Stiff Records. But Dave Robinson discovered a group called Brinsley Schwartz, which famously included Nick Lowe and, of course, Bob Andrews and Brinsley Schwartz, who went on to play with Graham Parker and The Rumour. And Brinsley Schwartz were completely unknown, and they thought it would be a great idea to try and launch them with a concert in New York. So they blagged a show at the Fillmore East for the unknown band, Brinsley Schwartz. They got an aeroplane from Aer Lingus to fly over 200 British journalists to see the launch of Brinsley Schwartz in New York. And, of course, the entire thing was a complete disaster, a fiasco, as you say. But what happened was it was so unsuccessful that the group themselves, they became stigmatized by this hype, this failed hype. The music papers in London, and in fact the national press, derided them for this crazy idea. But out of that, the Brinsleys, as they're popularly known, they turned in on themselves, and they started to really think about their music, and they became, or as I say in the book, they became a symbol for anti-hype. You know, they completely went the other way. So whereas, you know, guitar solos had to be long and noisy and loud, they completely played the sort of thinnest guitar they could do. You know, there was no attempt to put any gloss onto their records. They were all very under-recorded. They were pretty badly made, really. But people gradually picked up on this thing that they'd gone into reverse, as they say. And so once again, that fiasco, out of that fiasco, came something bigger than a simple hype of a pop group. It became almost like a new musical movement.
But it's very funny, because then 5 years later, it's time for another change, or a few years later, and, you know, it's time to make some pop music and sort of have some fun. So it's just, and the book, like I said, traces this whole movement, you know, through all these different changes. We're talking to Will Birch. The website is willbirch.com, and the book, No Sleep Till Canvey Island, is available at that website. Of course, you are the drummer and lyricist of the records as well, and certainly in America, Tina Rama, Starry Eyes are songs we still hear on the radio today. You know, and you're a writer, of course, lots of articles in Mojo and lots of different magazines and papers and stuff. So you're a busy guy.
Yeah. Well, when you say it as fast as that, it sounds great. Thank you.
Was there something in the attitude or background of the people that ended up, you know, in the forming the pub rock thing that they had in common that made them different from the folks in the mainstream, or was it just lack of success, or was there something else that had put these people together?
Well, I think they were musicians first and foremost, who probably were at that time sort of all in their, let's say, mid-20s, maybe even 30 years old. So they'd been through the great stuff in the 60s, you know, the whole scene of the Stones and the blues, the R&B thing. They were people who probably read about music in Rolling Stone and probably knew a bit about country and western, rhythm and blues, the roots of music, you know, whether that be Louis Jordan or Hank Williams. They were interested in the history of music. They wanted to get that over. There were some American groups around that time with very expansive or high, big names. I'm thinking, you know, Commander Cody and his Lost Planet Airmen, or the New Riders of the Purple Sage, those kind of American groups appeal to a certain clique, if you like. It was a little bit in crowd, but in London. So there was a bit of a thing of probably trying to emulate that scene. I mean, particularly Chilli Willy and the Red Hot Peppers were one of the groups who played in the London pubs. And there was a bit of an anti-pop thing. There was a bit of an anti-commercial stance. You know, I mean, the Brinsleys would say, keep it real. You know, it was all about playing real music and not over embellishing it or over varnishing the music. So it was a little bit cliquey, I suppose, a little bit anti-ambition. And it was a bit self-conscious in its way. I mean, there was a little bit kind of clever going on. If you really analyse it, a lot of people were. It was a lot of humour in it. Humour is the only way I can really describe it. It was knowing. It was a very knowing thing.
So in the book, there's a certain point where you discuss Niccolò getting a haircut, and this is kind of the signal of sort of the whole punk pub rock thing ending and the beginning of the stiff period. Niccolò gets his hair cut short, and he goes on this television show, and the rest of the band is a little bit upset because they've all still got long hair and look like a bunch of hippies, and now he looks kind of smart, and it's just a very telling moment.
Yeah, I think well, in a way, I think that the haircut was sort of symbolic, if not of the history of the way the music was going, it was kind of symbolic of where Nick was going. You know, I think that he always had his ear to the ground, and he was maybe mixing with, had friends that were a little bit more happening or more daring, and he probably wanted to do something different. So whereas Brinsley Schwarz had gone against the trend, the musical trends of the day, now as people were catching up, he probably decided, well, they're going this the way I was going, now I'm going to take a right, you know, I'm going to go the other way. So that's kind of the way his brain works, and I think still does to a certain extent. But it also, slightly after that period, when Brinsley Schwarz made the great album with Dave Edmunds, New Favourites of Brinsley Schwarz, that kind of signalled a change. The music on that record was in many ways a sort of a return to some of the pop values of the 60s. There's also a lot of musical diversity on there. But the other thing that was happening was around that time, 1974, was a group called Dr. Feelgood were making a big name for themselves on the London pub circuit. And in fact, Dr. Feelgood were on a tour with Brinsley Schwarz. Brinsley Schwarz were on a tour really with Dave Edmunds. They were Dave's backing group. And Dr. Feelgood were the opening act on that tour, about 12 dates around the UK. And I think that's when they all, and in fact the public, saw how exciting Dr. Feelgood were. I think Nick sort of saw that as the nail in the coffin for the Brinsleys and maybe for the sort of pub rock scene. And indeed, the pub rock scene, as I write about it, did kind of end shortly thereafter in early 1975. Symbolic, really, the haircut, and a change of mood and a change of times in that ever-evolving scene here in the UK. And on that record, the New Favourites of Brinsley Schwarz, the great Nick Lowe song, What's So Funny About Peace, Love and Understanding, which people, I'm sure, will know. Elvis Costello did a version of it a few years later. And I think Nick does still play it in his act today in a slightly more somber tone, I would say, but very thoughtful and evocative. So that's a great song. And is also really my favourite song, really, from that whole pub rock period.
Let's end by hearing that song, but I think it's very interesting that you know, this band that was trying to do less and less to go against the current trends eventually hears a band like Dr. Feelgood and realize this less and less thing isn't going to cut it anymore. Things are changing. And then shortly thereafter, you've got Stiff Records and punk rock. And the book ends with the Stiff Records tour, which is, again, another set of fantastic characters and unusual circumstances. And because of your interviews, well documented. And like I said, it's just fascinating. Will Birch is our guest. WillBirch.com is the place you can buy his book or some records CDs or some Crystal Flyers CDs and take a look at some of his articles or post it up there for your reading. It's just a fantastic book. Well, let's hear A Peace, Love, and Understanding from the great Brinsley Schwartz. And we've really just, I want to emphasize, we've just scratched the surface about this book. It's a long, well-told, well-researched book, and there's lots of characters, and there's lots of information I didn't know, even about people I thought I knew about, so I can't highly recommend it anymore. No Sleep Till Canvey Island, The Great Pub Rock Revolution by Will Birch. Will, thank you for spending a minute with us this morning.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much indeed, and thank you to all your listeners.
Sweet harmony, for each time.